Hi, and welcome to the Roxy Hayes Podcast. I'm Roxy Hayes, your host, and this is the podcast where I get to dive deep into all the things I'm curious about, whether it's nerd culture, pop culture, relationships, or just the wonderfully weird and interesting world around us. Some episodes will be totally off the cuff, and sometimes we'll have special episodes where I revive my old shows like Bedtime Bitchin', Anti-Meridian, and Tell Me a Story. But no matter what, it's always going to be a fun, unpredictable ride. So sit back and let's get into it. What's up, guys? It's me, Roxy, and today we're going to be diving into one of the most talked about anime of the season. That's right, Dandadan. It had everything. It had action, it had dope characters, it had a really cool twist, and the villains were amazing. Everything. So I feel like this was an anime that was great for anybody because it had over-the-top battles, but it also had complex storylines as well as love interest. So for me, Dandadan was a perfect mix of everything that I love to see in anime. And so today we're going to kind of go into why I enjoyed it so much. We're going to talk about the action. We're going to talk about the ending. And of course, we're going to talk about the villains that we saw this season. Acro Silky broke my heart. So we'll get more into that. I'm going to try to keep it semi-spoiler free. Of course, there are going to be some spoilers, but I'm going to try to be vague for the people that haven't seen Dandadan yet. But we are going to be, so what would you call this? A semi-deep dive, a half dive. We're going into the shallow end of the pool on Dandadan. Also, because I have not read all of the manga yet. I haven't read most of the manga yet. I've read, like, one chapter of the manga. So, there's only so deep I can go into this dive anyway. But let's go ahead and get started. Okay, so Dandadan started airing in October 2024. There were 12 episodes, and it ran until December 2024. And it combines the supernatural with action-packed drama, as well as some hilarious moments and some romantic moments. It follows Momo, a high school girl with supernatural encounter, and Akarun, a somewhat reluctant hero as they navigate the bizarre worlds filled with alien spirits and mythical creatures. With a blend of humor, high-stakes action, and touching character development, Dandadan quickly became a fan favorite among anime watchers. Season 2 is already set to premiere in July 2025, and after that cliffhanger ending, I don't know how we're going to wait, because that pissed me off. Okay, so let's go ahead and dive into the characters and how much I love these characters. All right, so we got Momo and Akarun first. His real name's Ken, but you'll have to watch the show to understand why she doesn't call him that. All right, so they are very much an unlikely pair. Their chemistry is everything. Like, Momo's really like this. It's this opposites attract thing that they love to put into everything, and it works every single time. So Momo's, like, super fierce, no-nonsense. Like, she does not play that. And Akarun's, like, laid back, kind of, I don't know another word for wimpy, kind of wimpy, very reluctant hero. And it's really cool how they balance each other out, and it's really cool how they're friendship evolves. Momo's definitely like the tough one, but Akarun, like, don't put up with no shit either, and he really will, and we're seeing him, like, starting to assert himself more, starting to push himself more. So through the beginning, you know, her being like his first friend and watching their friendship evolve and watching their love romantic relationship evolve has been a very, very cool thing to see. What else do I want to say about them? They're just really funny together. I really like how they treat one another. It's dope to see the popular girl becoming friends with the nerd, but like in a genuine sense. It wasn't like her taking pity on him. It wasn't any of that stuff. It was they just became friends, and then now they're experiencing this crazy thing together. So besides them, there's a host of other supporting characters that are really cool. Like, I really like Momo's friends. But the main ones that we're going to talk about first is Momo's grandmother. I love her grandmother. This is Psycho. And I just realized that's a play on psychic. So her grandmother is so cool. She's, like, very young looking. She is a psychic. At first, they kind of played it for a gag, like she wasn't really a psychic, but she definitely has powers. She's also, like, the support system for Momo. I love non-typical family dynamics. You don't see that all the time, you know? So seeing, like, a young, youthful grandmother raising this granddaughter is very cool, even though she is kind of... I cannot think of words today. But yeah, she's not a typical grandmother. She's not typical in anything that she does, but she has love for her granddaughter, and that's really cool to see. So her grandmother provides the stability. She also provides the wisdom for Momo. As you can see, she's going through this journey in embracing her own powers and becoming this force of nature. One of the other characters that is very important that I didn't know was going to become important is Turbo Granny. So Turbo Granny is a pervert. Let's start that off, because she was definitely trying to take Akron's banana. But now she is, how can I not? I'm a spoiler alerted a little bit, because I mean, they kind of show it and you can kind of figure it out, but yeah, you know, Turbo Granny ends up getting put into the cat character. And I will say her in that cat character is adorable and I love it so much. But she's really cool. Just knowing more about her backstory and why she exists is also just very sad. It's interesting how they made like such a scary looking weird character sympathetic, and you know that she's the comic relief of the crew for sure. And then we have Ira. I hated Ira's guts at the beginning. I mean, she's still very annoying. Out of everybody, she's probably the most annoying character. But she's, you know, very loud. She's the popular girl. She thinks she's super pretty. Everybody tells her how pretty she is. She reminds me of what's her face from Psyche K with the blue hair. She's like, I'm popular, and I know I'm popular, and I can use my popularity to manipulate people, but I'm so nice. I'm so nice because I let everybody look at me and worship me. And you can see she's starting to develop some other emotions. She is actually a caring person, and we saw that with Acro Silky. But yeah, she's still very, 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 very annoying. She is very annoying. So yeah, it's really cool. Oh wait, I'm sorry. LFO Gigi. I really like Gigi. Gigi is funny. When he's first introduced as, you know, Momo's ex or Momo's first love and childhood friend, you know, he comes in and he's clearly supposed to be like the handsome character, and he is supposed to provide the foil to Akron. But then as soon as we get to know him, it's like, oh, this guy is like a goofball, silly, kind of a womanizing pervert. So it's very interesting to see that dynamic too, just like this quote handsome character, this jock character, and he's just like a goofball, silly person. And to start seeing him and Akron's friendship growing, like we said at the beginning, Akron doesn't have any friends. Momo was his first friend, so now he has Ira, now he has Gigi as well. So that's really cool to see. So what else I love about Don Don is the story and the action. The story is so unpredictable. The story is crazy. So you have aliens, but then you also have like spirits. And then you also have just these different powers that cannot be understood. And you have the aliens hating the spirits because the aliens want to take over the world, but they can't. It's just so much going on, but it doesn't feel convoluted. It doesn't feel like it's overwhelming. Like, it's a really good story. Not only that, we fully don't understand everything that's going on yet. Like, we know there's aliens, we know there's spirits, we know there's powers, but what's happening? What's fully happening here? So yeah, we fully don't... Sorry, my food came from DoorDash, and like I said on the other episode this week, these episodes aren't really gonna be edited because I need to kind of drop them quickly. So yeah, there's gonna be some pauses just so y'all know what's going on. But yeah, we still fully don't know what's going on. There's still this air of mystery around everything. Unless, of course, you read the manga. But still, yeah, we don't fully know what's going on. I didn't really know what to expect when I first heard about Don Don either. Like, I knew it was about aliens. I knew it was about spirits. I knew it was like a girl that didn't believe in aliens and a boy that didn't believe in spirits. I knew that. But like, I was not expecting this fully cooly ass story, and it's really dope. I know some people do not like it because of the, how can I put this to where it doesn't sound terrible? Like, the first episode, they're trying to like, the aliens are trying to take the girl's reproductive organs, and they're trying to assault her essentially. So there is that underlying part of it. I don't really want to go too much into that because that's literally like a whole nother episode with anime and how they handle high schoolers and stuff like that. I did find out, I will add this in there for sure, that I did find out that the age of consent in Japan was 14, which makes a lot of sense as to why in a lot of anime you see these younger characters. You'll see like stuff happening with like a 15 and 16 year old, and it'll be some sexually explicit stuff or like hinted at or like things like that, because it was, the age of consent was 14 until I think like a year or two ago. So it explains a lot culturally as to why you'll see more of those things regarding people of those ages in those types of shows. This one is for the most part, all the kind of explicit stuff is played for gags, except for that. Of course, that was definitely like, this is a terrible thing, this is bad. So, but the other stuff, like there is some implied nudity and all of that kind of stuff. So I do understand why people that don't like it, don't like it. I've heard a lot of people like, I don't get why people are upset about it. I'm like, well, no, that makes sense as to why somebody would not like it. It makes a lot of sense, and we need to not act like that's not a thing, or we don't have a certain level of understanding as to why somebody would not enjoy watching a show that has that in there. What else? But yeah, I didn't know what the show was about, and yeah, so there's a lot of action in here. There's a lot of fighting. There's a lot of fighting sequences, and the fighting sequences are dope. The hand-to-hand combat is dope. The transformations are amazing. Every fight scene is literally like a visual feast. I would compare it to like some scenes in Demon Slayer, like how I felt watching it. And each battle feels different. When they're fighting different villains, there's different visual aspects. Like there's one where they're fighting underwater, there's one where they're fighting Acro Silky and she has like this long hair and all of this stuff, and they're fighting in like this dirty warehouse. So there's always, even like the fight with Turbo Granny, all the fights look different, they feel different, and they feel immersive, and it's really dope. The animation is amazing. I really love it. The fight choreography stands out. It is very, very enjoyable. And it's not, I think one of the best things too, and why it feels so great, is like the fight scenes are not just like who's stronger, he has more power, she has more power. It's part of it is how they have to work together. And not only that, it's about strategy. It's showing the characters grow. It's showing how adaptable they can be in the heat of this battle. And that's what really makes the action engaging. It's not just about, oh, they're punching each other, oh, they're using their powers. It's like, how are they using their powers? Why they're fighting, and what's actually happening here? It is dope. All right, so now we're going to go ahead and get into the villains in season one. One, of course, up top was just the creepy ass aliens. I don't know their name. I don't know if they said their names, but they are freaking creepy. They try to take, they call them bananas for men and women. So they're trying to take their bananas and reproduce and do all of this stuff. And slight spoiler alert, we come to find out they specifically want, you know, them because they have powers, which would make sense. So they're trying to get stronger. And they're trying to procreate with humans and do all this wild shit. We had, what's his name? Peeny Weenie. I forgot what they called him in the show. I do know that they call him that in the manga, I believe. But the little shrimp character thing, Pistol Shrimp, they showed his backstory and it was sad. He was very interesting. He was beating ass. But the main villain that everybody's talking about is Acro Silky. Acro Silky had one of the saddest stories that I've seen of late in anime. And it came out of nowhere. It came out of nowhere. That episode was so intense. And I had somewhere to go after. I had like some business to attend to after. And I just had to sit for like an hour after watching that. I should not have watched it before I had like actual stuff to do. Because that was heart-wrenching. So just watching her backstory, you learn more about her motives and just like why she was doing what she did. And it really, her whole arc made Ira a more empathetic character. Cause like I said, she's so fucking annoying and she had been an asshole to Akron. But seeing that and seeing how she helped Afro Silky, and then even learning her backstory, was very intense. It was super sad. If you have not seen Don Dadon and you don't know what to expect heart-crushing sadness. Like, I don't know how to explain it any other way. It was very, very sad. So yeah, I think that the villains just overall make the story more interesting. Of course, you need villains if we have heroes, but the villains in particular here are just very interesting. They're complex, and there's still a certain level of mystery. Like, we still don't know everything about Turbo Granny. We still don't know everything about the aliens. We still don't know everything about all the other spirits and everything that's still happening. And then that brings me to the last part. Well, not the last part. I'm sorry. One of the last parts. The cliffhanger. What's going on? So we had just finished this stuff. We started learning more about Gigi and like why he came to live with Momo and her grandmother. And ended up going to Gigi's house, and what the fuck happened? You know what I mean? Like, it ended on them finding something, and then that was it. And now we have to wait till next year. Like a few months. It's like half a year. We have to wait half a year to find out what happened. So it was so much action, and for it to kind of end on a calmer note, it almost was feeling like a slice of life episode, and then stuff started happening at the end. It was kind of crazy. So I was pissed. I'm not going to lie. I was very pissed. You know, usually, you know, seasons will wrap up and there'll be some sort of cliffhanger. But, like, how this cliffhanger felt was crazy. It was crazy. I still feel like nothing really got answered. Okay? So, what makes Don Dadon special to me? It stands out. It's just a perfect balance of action and humor and, like, heart. Like, it doesn't take itself too seriously, but it still has a lot of emotional depth in there. And so one minute you'll be laughing, and then the next you're like, what the fuck is going on? The characters are super well written, and you genuinely care about what's happening. You genuinely care about them, their well-being, and what's going to happen with their relationship. Because there's essentially almost like two love triangles. So what's going on there? And it's a new kind of type of anime. It feels new. It's like I said, it's a supernatural thriller. There's also like all these fights, and then there's also this like rom-com element there. So it definitely delivers. It clearly takes risks. It mixes up genres in these really cool ways, and it feels fresh. Like, it feels new. Yeah, it's dope. So pretty much that is my overall take on Don Dadon season one. Like I said, I tried to not give too many spoilers. I definitely talked about some, but I didn't want to reveal too much. But yeah, there's action, tragic backstories, it's wild cliffhanger. It's definitely one of those animes that's gonna grab you and it doesn't let go. I'm actually probably gonna rewatch it sometime this week. The story's super unpredictable, the characters are complex, and the action scenes are just crazy. So if you haven't seen it yet, definitely check it out. If you've read the manga, let me know how much you enjoy the manga. I think I'm gonna start reading that too. So I definitely want to know your thoughts. Like, what did you think of the villains? What do you think about the cliffhanger? Let me know if you're excited for season two. So you can always hit me up on my social media in the DMs. I do try to check my DMs consistently. Please check out these podcast episodes. Don't forget to subscribe for more anime breakdowns or whatever else I want to talk about this week. And stay tuned for the next episode. Until then, if I'm singing it can't be considered a copyright, right? If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to follow me on social media at Roxy Hayes, R-O-X-X-Y-H-A-Z-E. And if you'd like to support the show and get access to exclusive content, visit my Patreon at patreon.com/RoxyHayes. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, and turn on notifications so you never miss an episode. See you next time, and stay curious.